Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. Erin Quinn has some tale to tell. She, like her mother and sister, is a domestic abuse survivor. As a young child, she saw her father brutally beat her mother and, of course, was powerless to do anything. Erin was even kidnapped by her dad and, despite those childhood nightmares, found herself trapped in abusive relationships later in life, ones she says were marked by stalking, threats, isolation, and after telling one partner she was planning to leave, barely managed to escape with her life. So, instead of hiding from the horror, Erin made it her mission to take the problem of domestic violence out from behind closed doors. And to that end, she is the founder and CEO of End Abuse for Good, a nonprofit whose goal is to make sure that every student in the United States attends a class dedicated to preventing domestic violence. Since its inception in 2008, some 5,000 young people throughout the New York City school system have been exposed to the program's Education Equals Prevention program, where they learn about teen dating, violence, self-esteem, and the need to stay on track with their personal goals. Erin is currently working on Dying for Love, a guidebook aimed at teens and young adults about women and men who have been murdered by a partner. It also highlights the warning signals. Before starting End Abuse for Good, Erin worked as a model, an independent makeup artist, invented the iPhone app Numbo, and ran a private holistic health practice. Erin, welcome, and thanks for joining me today.
Oh, Sandy, it's so nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
You know, Erin, our childhoods couldn't be more different. So talk to me about life in the Quinn household.
Oh, my goodness. It was very traumatic. My mother was a young mother. She was 17 when she was pregnant with me. And oddly enough, you know, she's really pretty brilliant and from a very loving family. And just, you know, was one of those Catholic schoolgirls that, you know, quote unquote, got into a little trouble. And, you know, my dad is, you know, he's very handsome and very sort of, you know, charismatic and seductive. And and now I'm here.
Well, she was smitten, in other words, huh?
She really was, and so was he. But, you know, my father is one of 10 children with, you know, born to an alcoholic, abusive father himself. And things got pretty violent pretty quickly. So, you know, it was rough. It really was. There was a lot of screaming and shouting and eventually punching and Many times my sister and I found ourselves hiding under a kitchen table or hiding under a bed. My sister was younger than I was, and I felt very responsible for her, but scared myself. And my grandparents, you know, would come and get us and bring us back to their house. And this went on for years, as many violent situations in a lot of households. You know, my father, like every abuser, you know, would cry and beg for forgiveness and swear that he would never do it again and tell my mother how much he loved me and my sister. But, you know, he's abusive.
Did he drink?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure he did. And my mother is, she's really beautiful. She's very smart. And she quickly realized, like, I want to go back to school and I want to finish high school. And like, you know, most abusive men, he saw that as a statement or a threat against him. And so, you know, I mean, the violence just escalated as she started to sort of reclaim herself
and
as a woman.
And branch out.
Yeah, she went back to night school, and he said, you don't need that. What do you need that for? I can take care of us. And so she hid it from him, but then he found her books, her school books, under the front seat of the car and beat her mercilessly. She, you know, she lost her front teeth. I mean, you can imagine how traumatizing it was for her, and this was in an era where this was not discussed. You did not.
But your grandparents knew about this, though.
Well, you know what's funny, Sandy? We don't talk about this in my family. This is not discussed. Mm-hmm. And even though I founded End Abuse for Good, this is not discussed. But I went home for Christmas this year in New Hampshire. I'm a New England girl.
And who lives at home?
My grandparents, my aunt lives with them. But all my aunts and uncles, cousins, everybody was over for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on the floor, and they were talking about End Abuse for Good, saying, we're so proud of you. And you know, and I said, well, they opened the door. So I said, you know, could I just ask a couple of questions? It would be awfully helpful to me with some of the conversations I have with the girls when I go into schools. And they said, sure. Oh, Sandy.
Floodgates?
Wow. I mean, wow. You know, my family doesn't cry. They're tough. They're Irish. Mm-hmm. These things are in the past. We've moved on.
And, right.
You know, my grandparents just really opened up. My aunts were crying. And my grandmother said, oh, it's so hard to say this because I've never seen my grandmother cry ever. Mm. Ever. And she said, your mother called me once. And she said, Mom, I'm in trouble. And then I heard your father saying, hang up that phone. And then I heard him rip the phone out of the wall and throw it across the room. And I heard you and your sister crying. And, you know, my grandmother got right into the car and raced over and got us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's exactly how she found out, but she certainly knew at that point. So, gosh, what a Christmas. I mean, this was just this year. And they started opening up about abuse, even with my great-grandparents. This happens in so many households. You know, it is 2015, and there's still a funny look on women's faces when I say, so do you know anyone who's ever been abused? And I can tell by the look in everyone's eye who has been.
Mm-hmm.
And no woman will say it in front of other women. For some reason, this is very, very shameful to us.
Sure, it's embarrassing. And it's humiliating.
Very humiliating. And what they'll, you know, what will happen is they'll tell me afterwards, I didn't want to say anything in front of anybody, but
right.
I know what you're talking about. And they don't even say, I'm a survivor. They say, I know what you're talking about. Oh, come on, ladies.
Mm.
For some reason, you know what it is? Women are tough. Women are really smart, and women don't give up. And if there's a problem, it must be us.
We're to blame?
It must be.
Mm-hmm.
It must be me.
Well, I can't believe I would make such a bad choice.
There's that, too.
I mean, there's that. How could I have picked him? You know,
Sandy, I still feel embarrassed.
You feel embarrassed because of your relationships?
Yeah, I do. I really, really do.
But that's cyclical. I mean, is there a way of sometimes stepping back and saying, I mean,
well,
you know,
I finally did.
Yeah, it perpetuates itself. It's what you know.
Everything that you learn as a child. You don't remember learning it, but you learned it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's part of your DNA in a way.
Yeah, it really, really is. And you've got to get to a point where you see a pattern and you're conscious enough to say, this is a pattern. This keeps happening to me. I'm making a choice. I'm going to make a different choice now. It takes a lot of pain and suffering and strength to make that choice. I'm really lucky that I found the right books and the right people. And I really, my heart breaks for women who are trapped in it and they just don't realize that it's not their doing. It's not their doing. But if you ask any woman who's ever been in an abusive relationship, don't you think you deserve a little better? If they tell you the truth, they'll look you in the eye and they'll say, no.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of courage to say, no, don't think I deserve any better.
Why did you think that you deserved better? You witnessed this up until you left home, basically?
Yeah. I mean, my parents were divorced when I was 5.
Oh, really?
But, you know, my father found me at the babysitter's.
And that's for the kidnap reference?
And he took me. And he said, you know, get in the car. And he drove around for hours. And kept calling the house and saying, if Kathy doesn't come back to me, you know, you're not going to see Aaron again.
Mm.
I don't remember that, but I remember once I had a dream that I was in the middle of the street and a car kept trying to run me over. And I felt like I was trying to run, but my feet wouldn't move. And I told my mother about that. And she got this look on her face and said, I can't believe that you remember that. I said, what do you mean remember that? And she said, I was in the street with you once and your father was following us and he kept threatening to run us over if we didn't get into the car.
Oh, good God.
You know, so mm-hmm. you don't remember consciously, but subconsciously, you know, your brain has a recording of every little thing that ever happened
mm-hmm.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly and excitedly, it informs every decision and thought that you make. And so I would say to any woman listening to this who's feels like she keeps making the same bad choice, your brain is working very brilliantly. Unbeknownst to you, it's helping you make choices. Just look at what you've chosen and it will tell you what you think.
Mm-hmm.
When I learned that, I looked at the pain in my life and how, I mean, I just really didn't have anything anymore. It was just one relationship, too many, where I got controlled, where I was afraid to lose somebody or afraid to get hurt. I didn't have any friends or I didn't have the career that I wanted because whoever I was with thought that it was stupid and that I didn't need it. I think I just woke up one day and looked around and said, I have nothing. I've done nothing. I want to do something. And I was willing to give up love. And actually what I did, Sandy, was I just went without a boyfriend for 3 years.
And you were fine, weren't you?
I was scared a lot. Mm-hmm. I was lonely a lot, but I learned a lot about myself.
You were whole, weren't you?
Yeah, I became much more whole. And all of a sudden, the next person, it wasn't abusive.
And you did this alone?
Yeah, but you know, there's always that great book that falls into your hands. And you know, you read it and it stops and makes you go, oh man, wow. Yeah.
What was that book for you?
Oh, there was a couple of them. You know, some of them were very esoteric, like Emmanuel's Book of Love. You know, it's not for everybody. And you don't have to, you know, fall into it all the way. Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way. It was just a lot of exercises about finding yourself, conversations with God, The Fabric of the Cosmos, just a book about energy and physics, and it just really stopped and made me think about manifestation and how the brain works and the choices that I was making. And I think the thing that I learned that really struck me was, if you're not sure what it is that you believe, look at what you're doing and what you have and who's in your life. That's what you believe. So obviously being controlled and sabotaged and feeling frightened of someone that I was dating and giving everything to them and nothing to myself, that's what I believed. I just looked at everything around me and said, these are all manifestations of what I think is so. I want something else. I want more.
If you're just joining me, my guest today is Erin Quinn. She happens to be the CEO and founder of End Abuse for Good, a domestic violence program. So did you go to college?
I did, but I dropped out. You know, I always thought that college would be this wonderful, magical place where you would learn a lot. You know, I really wanted to learn, and it just felt like high school part two.
So it was a waste of your time.
It's not for everyone. It's, mm-hmm. You know what? I wish I could go back now.
Well, there's probably nothing to stop you.
I'm a little busy.
I'm sure you could find the time. No,
I was on the campus of Barnard the other day, and I felt like, wow, I want to take classes here. I love it here. You could feel the energy of for women, about women, exalting women. It just seemed like very sort of almost Greek, like going back and sitting at someone's knees and learning mm-hmm. about things. And I thought college would be about learning, but it was just about getting the degree to get a job. And I didn't know what I wanted to. I had no sense of self.
Well, of course. Well, and also, a bell goes off. You're 18 or 17, and you're supposed to go to school. And not everybody's ready to do that. And that's, in a way, a shame, because there's something to be said for some life experiences before you hang out on a quad.
I think my family said, okay, you've got to get a job because you need to support yourself and you need to have health insurance. So I'm 18 years old, and I'm thinking, I don't even know what I'm good at. I guess I'll just do what my aunt did and take managing information systems.
Whatever that is.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I don't know. There was no passion for it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't have passion for something, I quickly lose my taste for it. I'll work as hard as the next person if there's a goal at the end that moves me, but there's nothing about it that moved me. So I quickly became bored and disenchanted and frustrated and irritated. And I wanted life. I just thought, get me out of here. This is, you know, I want life.
So did that in some way segue to becoming a model?
That's exactly what happened.
Because you're a very attractive woman.
Oh, thank you.
And
you know, somebody said,
kind of fell into that?
I did. Somebody said, you should be a model.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought that I was, you know, quote unquote, pretty like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what happened. It sort of just came to me. It's not, I didn't wake up one day and say, I really want to be a model.
So you were a print model or a?
Print, a lot of commercials. Uh-huh. You know, commercials, runway, no. Boy, if someone just looks at me while I'm walking a trip. Wait, someone's looking at me. Poof,
so
I'm walking to a wall.
So that was lucrative for you, correct?
Sure, that worked out great.
So I mean, that's
it was
wonderful.
A lot of hard work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was funny. I mean, in the beginning, I was a starving model. I was, like, looking for change in the bottom of a purse to eat.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually—
Well, models aren't supposed to eat, Erin, so it's a wash.
You know what, Sandy? I got a big secret for you. Models eat like animals. I mean— If you're so thin that you're a model, it's because your metabolism is so high. I've seen models scarfing like 3 hamburgers and a massive shake. And you know, shoving some cheesecake down
life
afterwards.
Life is so unfair.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've either got the metabolism or you don't. There's a few girls who are, you know, throwing up in the toilet, but, mm-hmm. but I never actually saw that.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I mean, you know, it was a ride. That ride ends anyway by the time you...
But it worked for you. It provided you an income. It provided you with a purpose.
No, not a purpose,
no,
just an income.
Just an income.
It really was. It was just an income. I needed to, you know, nobody was taking care of me but me. And it was a job, and it was nothing more than a job.
So
the whole time I kept thinking, gosh, what am I going to really do with my life?
So now you're really doing something with your life and have been really doing something with your life for the last bunch of years. How was End Abuse for Good born?
Oddly enough, I was taking a life course type of thing. And we needed to come up with a community project, and it was a 12-week course. So by the end of the 12 weeks, you needed to execute this little community project. And so I knew a lot of people in the cosmetic industry, and I thought, oh, I know. I could get all of these people to give me all of these products and maybe even do hair makeup for women who are in domestic violence shelters. And when I... Believe me when I say I wasn't thinking because I'm a survivor, because my mother went through it. I'd actually forgotten that. I'd blocked it out of my mind. It came as an inspiration or an impulse from the back of my head, not from the front of my head.
So it was buried.
Whoa, it was really buried. And I'll share with you how it popped up. It was crazy. Anyway, so this 12-week project, and as I got into it, I thought, this isn't a project.
This is a calling.
Yeah. I thought, you're supposed to finish the project, execute it, and then hand it over and let other people continue doing it. And I thought, I'm not handing this over. I'm not done by a long shot with this. Not by a long shot. So the end of 12 weeks, I had incorporated, gotten my 501c3 status, and had this massive event in this beautiful penthouse with all of these survivors of domestic violence.
How the hell did you pull that off?
You know what, Sandy? I'm going to tell you, I was so scared. I didn't know what I was doing. And I hope whoever's listening, don't you think for even one second that you need an education or you need to know what you're doing. All you need to do is realize that you want to do it and ask everybody you can for help. And a lot of people will say no, and a lot of people will say yes. I had never asked anyone for help before in my life. But here's the thing. In this 12-week class, you have to commit to a room full of 100 people that you're going to keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
So I just told 100 people that I was going to do this. So I had to do it.
You're not going to make a liar out of me.
I wasn't going to fail in front of 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
So there was my pride, and there was just wanting to keep my word. So I was very, very scared. Though I had a lot of sleepless nights. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to do this. I'm scared of calling the IRS. I don't know how to fill out paperwork. What's a board? I don't know how to put a board together. Who am I going to? Wait a minute. I mean, I really didn't know what I was doing. But if you just do it, you quickly find out what you're actually really great at.
Was this when you were modeling?
No. I at this point, I had this holistic health practice.
So the modeling was in the past.
Modeling was way in the past.
The reason I'm asking you that was that you knew people.
I knew people.
And you had connections that you could go to so-and-so and say,
yeah.
I'm starting this project.
Starting
can
this
we get,
project.
I need
can
some
you help
seed
me?
Money.
Not even money. I what happened was I was in a terrible car accident where I came very close to dying. I still have a 14-inch scar down the middle of my chest from open heart surgery.
Wow.
And I got a small settlement, and I used that money to start End Abuse for Good.
Did you know it was End Abuse for Good?
It actually started off as Beauty Cares.
Huh.
Because it was about bringing the beauty industry together to care about survivors of domestic violence. Sandy, I just remember I was in this penthouse. All of these survivors of domestic abuse were there. There were flowers everywhere. The music was pumping. Massage therapists, hairstylists, everyone was a celebrity artist. Somebody donated a huge, beautiful catered lunch. It was like a wedding.
Was this here in New York City?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was right on Fifth Avenue and 13th Street. It was like a wedding. And all of these women, it was like they came in and they were in a bad mood and shy and scared. And I was scared. Everyone was scared. And then, I don't know, everyone just stepped up to the plate and took a woman by her hand. And 4 hours later, people were laughing and hugging and crying. We had a celebrity photographer, photo shoot. It was like a celebration of life. Women shared their stories. One woman, she wouldn't take her wig off. And a hairstylist said, honey, please, honey, let me help you. And she said, but does hair grow back? He said, honey, just take the wig off. Whatever it is, I'm going to help you. God, she took her wig off. She had bald spots all over her head where her ex-husband had pulled her hair out. And but this hairstylist, God, he just gave her so much love, and he gave her the most beautiful haircut. He gave her this really chic haircut. She looks so beautiful. And in the photograph, she is beaming into the camera. This woman wouldn't take off this ratty old wig, and she had the chic haircut. She was just beaming into the camera. And they all wrote testimonials like, I realized that beauty comes from the inside, but I needed so badly to feel beautiful today, or today was the beginning of the rest of my life, or today I was no longer a survivor of violence. I'm a woman again. Man, I was like, no, I'm doing this forever.
This is not a one-time
shot. This isn't a one-off. I want to do this for the rest of my life.
So then what happened?
I just, you know, man, I had to, you know, find money, and I had to keep learning how to ask for things. It was really hard. And but one day, you know, I was trying to keep the holistic health practice and trying to do this, and a very special person in my life said, you know what? You could keep the health practice and you could help one person at a time, or you could just give it up and you could help the world. What do you want to do? And I made the leap, changed the name to End Abuse for Good. And I'll just share quickly that people kept coming up to me as volunteers saying, I know about this. I'm volunteering because this happened to me. And I started speaking with them. And what I heard, Sandy, was one woman after another saying, I feel really stupid. I feel like I should have known better. And I thought, yeah, you should have known better. Someone should have taught you. And everything pivoted in that moment. And I thought, I'm going to make sure that every woman in this country knows the signs of abuse. What is abuse? How to identify it? Why you might be making those choices? How to make a different choice? I'm not going to stop until the education system in this country not only teaches how to go get a condom, but how to recognize dating or domestic violence. No girl should ever walk up to a woman like me and say, I'm so ashamed. You know, I just feel so stupid. Mm-hmm. That cut me. And that's when I still go into shelters. We'll be there for Mother's Day. But it completely pivoted into education.
If you're just joining me, my guest today is Erin Quinn. She happens to be the CEO and founder of End Abuse for Good, a domestic violence program. So you had to put together a staff because you couldn't be a one-man band something
this huge. I kept trying to be the one-man band. And again, very special person in my life said, why don't you get some interns? I said, what's an intern? If you think that you got to know what you're doing, think again. People rush in to help you. People will give you advice all along the way. If you just keep moving and doing and talking and moving and doing and talking and sharing what it is that you're all about, people will come out of the woodwork and say things like, you need an intern. An intern, what's that? How do I get one? Oh, I'll get one for you. You will? Mm-hmm. Wow, thanks. Mm-hmm. You just learn as you're going along.
It's like that song from How to Succeed in Business where you look in the mirror and you start singing, I Believe in You. But I'm not deifying you, Erin, but I am.
I don't even believe in me. Let's just be, I don't believe in
well,
me.
Well, but look what you started.
But
you
I
know?
Can't stop.
And I mean, maybe you're being a little dismissive about this, but you started this organization from this idea in your head or this 12-week course. And don't you ever stand back and look and say, oh, my God. Look where we are today in all these schools. And I did this. But
well,
look at it,
you
right?
Know what? Thank you. Thank you. What I be perfectly honest with you, and I mostly keep thinking, how come I haven't done more? How come I haven't done enough? I wish I could do more.
Well, you can't solve the problems of domestic violence alone.
No.
You can certainly make inroads and make strides.
What I realized last year was I really am excited to partner with another organization. For example, I don't know if you've heard of Girls Inc. They're a tremendous organization. They've been around, forever, maybe 100 years. Oprah's very fond of them, and Starbucks donates quite a bit of money to Girls Inc. But to get to the point, I called them up one day and asked them, would they like me to come in and talk to their young girls? It's like an after-school program.
Nationwide?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Nationwide.
Is your organization nationwide?
I would love it to be. So I'm beginning to realize that it would be great to partner with nationwide organizations. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to just keep trying to reinvent the wheel, as you said, or do it all, you know, by yourself. I mean, you got to go big or go home. And it's scary to go big. And mm-hmm. I don't know how to partner with people. But again, just because you don't know what you're doing doesn't mean that you shouldn't do something.
Exactly.
Just do it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I said, would you like me to come in and talk to your girls about dating abuse? And they, you know, looked us up online and said, yeah, you like what you're doing and saw your video. Sure. Well, I think we've done 15 workshops with them. I just went up to Lowell, which is where I was born, and did workshops there. We're doing a huge event in July with Tamron Hall. She's coming by to guest speak. So I really just see myself in this organization partnering with organizations who don't do what we do. What we do and what we do better than anyone is we educate young women and college girls and even women about dating and domestic violence. It's just what we do. And I really see myself and the girls who work with me growing by leaps and bounds by approaching other organizations and saying, this is really needed. This could solve this problem. We can do this with you. Would you like to partner with us?
Was it difficult for you to get in the schools?
Yeah, it was very hard. And I was very lucky. I had a great intern who did things like this. Her name is Daniela Perez. I'm giving her a shout out. The sweetest, smartest little girl. She said, you should do workshops. I didn't know what workshops were. I'm the queen of workshops now. But this little girl said, oh, this is how you do it. And we came up with one. And she called the schools. And she found a school that would, you know, and the rest is history. Always get testimonials, get pictures, take videos, let people see for themselves
and
what you're doing.
And one school begat another school and
exactly.
Begat another school.
Sure. Now mm-hmm. We're working with top private schools in the city and everything in between. I'm in the Bronx. I'm in Manhattan. I'm in Queens. I'm in Brooklyn. I'm everywhere.
How many are you in your organization?
Sometimes there's two of us. Sometimes there's six of us. It depends on how many interns. But there's me and Maggie Seeley. Maggie is like I was going to say my right hand. She's also my left hand. Any other hands I'm unaware of. Couldn't do it without her. And we have a rotating staff of interns. So through partnering, I realized that we could really increase our staff.
Partnering as in dollars and cents. I mean, that's where your money comes from
to keep the organization going. We've hired grant writers. We've been working with them for several months now to find sponsorship and organizations or foundations who really believe in us. And frankly, I don't even want to name the number of the amount of money that I've put into this myself.
You on your own?
Never,
you take a salary from
this? I've never had a salary.
No.
I don't.
So it's grants, donations?
Grants, donations.
So fundraising is a big part of your job, isn't it?
It is something that I am awful at.
I don't like it either.
Awful.
I understand
awful.
That.
If you're listening to this and you're a fundraiser, grant writer.
Well, while we're talking about that, if you're listening to this and you want to make a donation, Aaron, how do they do that?
Please, just endabuseforgood.org. There's a donate now.
And the four is the numeral
right,
four.
Right.
Endabuseforgood.org.
Call me, 646-404-1141. Come and see me and ask me how I will put your money to good use. You can write a check to End Abuse for Good, but I'll share with you now. I'm going to keep going into schools and I'm going to take care of all of the travel and the brochures and the wristbands and everything that it costs to go into these schools. And another 100 or 400 or 5,000 girls are going to hear that jealousy is not love and sabotaging you isn't love and isolating you isn't love. It's just abuse. And that they get to say no to that. And they get to make a different choice. So they stay in school and stay in college and not go through what my mother went through, what I did. It took me all of my life to finally wake up. And when I think, who could I have been and what could I have done such a long time ago if I wasn't in an abusive relationship? Well, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Because I'm going to make sure that your daughters and your sisters and your moms and your cousins, that they know what every woman has a right to know. And boy, by the way, talk to guys too.
I'm sure.
Sure, there's a lot of guys out there in abusive relationships and it's heartbreaking, you know. It can be same gender, can be women abusing men. It's time to wake up and call it out. I'm just calling it out.
You know what? I'm glad I called you up.
Yeah, me too. You're lovely.
We ran out of time, but boy,
Whoa. The
world needs more Aaron Quinns. You are really inspirational.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Thank you for all you've done. And thanks for joining me today, Aaron.
My pleasure.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.